12 tonight. We'll continue in our study on binding and loosening in Jesus' name. I hope that you, I don't like to use the word practice this, I hope that you utilize the reality that when you pray and bind Satan in the name of Jesus, it works. Amen? He has no power but what he has granted. You know, as a believer, we need to stop giving the devil what doesn't belong to him. He's seeking whom he may devour, and I don't know about you, but when you think about it like that, I don't want to walk around thinking that I'm giving the devil permission to ruin my life and ruin my children and ruin my wife and our church. And man, but really and truly, he only can do what he's granted. Amen? And as believers, we have to grant him to do that damage. So let's continue our study in binding and loosening in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. When you're there, say amen. Amen. I'll read it and then we'll pray. The Bible says, "Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight once again, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of binding and loosening in the name of Jesus tonight as we go in this study. Lord, we know the devil doesn't want us to know these things. He would like for us to just stay simple-minded and not know very much about the Lord, but what a great power it is that we have in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for that binding power. And right now, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you. I bind your demons of hell off this place. We don't want anything to do with you. You're not welcome here. And thank you, Lord, for the power you've invested in me and the local believers here, that we all have that power to do that. And Lord, now as we open up your word tonight, God, I pray, God, that you'll just cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit tonight. Thank you for the ones that are here, the families that are here. Lord, pray for the ones who are not. Lord, continue to heal those who need healing. Lord, thank you for the time we had this morning, the VBS meeting. Lord, I pray, God, you'll bless our VBS coming up. And Lord, may we honor and glorify you in everything we do. And all God's people said, amen. Last week, we talked about, this is about the third or fourth Sunday night that we've been in the binding and loosing, but we talked about some things that we can bind and loose the devil off of. And last week we talked about lost souls. We talked about the power we have to loose the chains and the bondage. You know, Satan has blinders on individuals that are lost, and we have the power to bind the devil off of those people and backslidden believers. We talked about mourning after them, and we talked about even our money, our funds, our church funds, and we talked about healing, emotional and physical and spiritual healing. Well, tonight, let's talk about binding the devil off of and loosening off of the laborers for Christ. You know, how many would say that we have a great work to do as the church of the living God? Listen, and I said living God. We do not serve a dead Savior. How many is thankful for that? We serve a risen Savior. And he's saying it tonight. He lives, he lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Listen, he lives and abides within us. And if we ever grasp a hold of the fact that God is not dead, he is very much aware of our situation in America. Amen. Listen, I know if you watch the presidential debate on Thursday night, listen, what a mess. I mean, look, lesser of two evils, right? They're just two men. But can I say, God knows what's going to happen in November, doesn't he? God's not surprised. But here's our responsibility as Americans and as Christians. We got a Bible to defend, amen? We got a Bible that we need to stand behind. You say, Brother Drew, who do I vote for? Listen, you vote for the man that's going to stand behind God's word the most. His title means absolutely nothing. If he's not standing behind God's word, if he's contrary to what God says is right, don't vote for him. And if he's defending God's word and he's defending what God's word says, vote for him. Pray for the politicians. Pray for the vice president. Pray for the Senate. Pray for the House of Representatives. You want your heart to be broken? Go take a tour of the Capitol and visit some of your local senators. Go into their offices. All we can see is the outward of what's going on around us and how everybody's pointing fingers. I'll bet you wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Because listen, they have a lot of people to answer for. And they have a lot of, but really and truly, here's what it's going to boil down to. One day they're going to answer to God. And one day you and I are going to answer to God. And we need more laborers to get on board for what's really going on in America. Listen, if you say, well, I don't want to be a politician. You don't have to be a politician. You be a politician for Jesus. Be a soul winner. Go out and knock on people's doors. Look, we ain't asking you to vote for nobody. Here's what we're asking you to do. Not go to hell. I got something that you can have, and it'll last a lifetime. And let me tell you about Jesus. But look, you know what? The Bible teaches that the harvest truly is what? Plenteous. But the laborers are what? Few. You say, Brother Drew, what do you mean? Well, I'm not trying to guilt you into anything, but Thursday night we had 5 people show up for soul winning. How many are saved in here? Raise your hand. Now, I know you can't make it every Thursday, but don't raise your hand here. I wonder how many of you could make it maybe once a month. Set aside one Thursday a month for an hour and a half and say, you know what? I could go door knocking with those guys and girls. I could do it once a month. But let me tell you this. Let me let you in on a little secret. Once you do it once, you'll be back. I promise, because it's addicting. It's addicting to see people open up, see their eyes opened up to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The harvest truly is plenteous. There's plenty of seed out there, plenty enough to go around in our community. But the laborers are what? Folks, listen. It's about time that we loose the bondage off the laborers. We have a clear direction from the Lord to pray for laborers. Many people wonder what the Lord would have them pray for. Yet some things are very clear from the scriptures. Jesus said in Luke 10:2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that ye would send forth laborers into his harvest. You say, Brother Drew, what should I pray for? Well, number one, don't pray for someone else to go if you're not willing to go. You hear what I'm saying? There's no replacement for that, okay? Listen, if you're able to go and God's given you the ability to go and you have the time to go, listen, once a month. If everybody would just go once a month, we'd never have to worry about having enough people to go out soul winning. I understand you can't make it every single week. Listen, I'm a busy man too. There's times that we're just not going to make stuff. I get it. But what if once a month you went ahead and you said, okay, I'm going to go this Thursday night. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing. I'm putting it on my schedule. I'm going. But no, Brother Drew, I'll just sit back and pray that God will send other people. Listen, what if God wants to use you to be the next man or woman that leads that next family to the Lord, that gets them in church and gets them discipled and gets them on fire for Jesus Christ? And then that family gets on fire, and they go door knocking and find another family to invest in. Folks, this stuff's contagious. You know what I'm saying? The gospel should be spreading faster than it is, but oh, why is it not? It's because we have not very many laborers. We also should be binding the devil off demonic and territorial spirits. We're not going to read it for sake of time, but in Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 21, you can read that later. We'll read a little bit of it later. But there are spirits that reign over our cities, our area, our buildings, even our rooms. Hey, I don't know about you, but you ever entered into a town before? How many has ever been to New Orleans? I'll just give you a good example. Anybody ever driven through New Orleans? You do not have to stop in that city to feel the satanic and demonic oppression that is flooded over that place. I know stories of pastors that have tried to start churches in there, and they just do not want anything to do with God. Independent Baptist churches do not survive there. The satanic oppression and possession is so strong there. I'm telling you, when you go up that big hill on Interstate 10, and you cross down, and you come down that other side, you can just feel it. It's like darkness. Nasty feeling comes over you. What's that called? That's Satan and his demons that are ruling that city. Y'all hear me? And I ain't talking about politicians either. I'm talking about Satan. A spiritual warfare going on there of millions of lost people within a huge city dying without Christ every single day. They'd rather worship their sick, vile feelings of their flesh than they would honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But can I say, folks, New Orleans ain't the only place that's satanically oppressed. You ever walked into a building or a place and you just feel like something just ain't right here? How many know Satan's real? Let's just start with this. Satan is very real. His demons are real. He uses them everywhere you go. You walk into a place and you feel like something just ain't right. Listen, that's not just some weird thing. Oh, something ain't right here. No, no. It's oppression. And as a believer, you shouldn't feel good when you walk into somewhere that is satanically oppressed. But here's the deal. When you walk in there and you feel that, what you should do is stop right then. And in the name of Jesus, you're walking in there. You say, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, devil, off of this place. And all of a sudden, guess what he has to do? Obey you. He has no choice. How about this? You know, like a lot of times when you go to someone's house, and I've been to people's houses before where, you know, you look on the outside there, they look like the happiest family in the world, but you go in their house and you're just like, something's off. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all been there before? Something's just off. It's just dark, and you feel this like, and God forbid you have to spend the night there. You want the closet lights on, the hallway lights on. You're wondering what in the world's actually going on in this house. It's spiritual warfare. Hey, but in the name of Jesus, bind the devil. Read that story in Daniel chapter 10. And look what Daniel did. For God sent an angel to help Daniel through his spiritual warfare time right there. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. We'll look a little bit of it later. So, with that said, bind and loose what God calls us to bind and loose. This is very important. The church has been given the keys of the kingdom. If we operate in these keys, we can bind whatever, whatsoever, and see the evidence of what we pray. I believe that the first key to the kingdom is prayer. How many would say, Brother Drew, I think I got a pretty good prayer life? Just, I mean, honestly, you pray as often. I mean, you know, Daniel, while we're on Daniel, he prayed morning, night, and what? Noon. Three times a day he would pray to God. And that's just what the Bible records. And they told him, hey, you got to stop praying to God or we're going to put you where? In the den of lions. So Daniel, did he say, you know what? Well, I really don't want to go in there with those lions. Did Daniel have that mentality? See, God commanded Daniel to pray. Did you know that as believers, we're challenged and commanded to pray and get to know God and talk to him? But how many of us actually have a relationship with God like that? It only takes one little thing to keep us from praying. You know, if God wants to hear from me today, he better answer my last prayer. Hello? Y'all okay? You're bargaining with the creator of the universe. You're bargaining with the one who holds the keys to what? Death and hell. Why would you say, God, I'll talk to you when you decide to answer my last prayer? How many times did you pray for that last prayer? The Bible teaches the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man what? Availeth much. How fervent are you in your prayer life? Jesus said, if you knock in prayer, it shall be opened unto you. So we see that prayer opens the doors to set the captives free. We also see that fasting is a key to setting the captives free. In Isaiah 58:6, the Bible says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? I wonder when's the last time we had a prayer like that. See, most of our prayers consist of this. Lord, would you please heal so-and-so? We got some bad news. Could you take that cancer away? Could you take that sickness away? Lord, could you please be with so-and-so? They might be on their deathbed. Lord, somebody fell and hurt themselves. Could you please be with them? That's about the extent of our prayer life often. Everybody want to agree? When's the last time you actually prayed, God, could you loose the bonds of wickedness that is upon this individual? There's a reason that they're bound spiritually. You know, the Bible teaches we have the power to loose and free them. When's the last time you said, God, in the name of Jesus, loose them from the bonds of wickedness. Undo their heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. You know, if you'd be honest tonight, there's many of you in here. If you're saved, you can't be Satan possessed or demonic possessed, but you most certainly can be satanically oppressed. You ever been depressed before? Where you just don't feel like doing nothing? You're mad, you're angry. Don't really feel like going to church. Definitely don't feel like reading the Bible. That's long gone. Prayer comes here and there. If something bad enough happens and you feel like you ought to get in touch with God for the day, you know what that's called? Oppression. When you look around and you see believers like that, you know what you ought to be praying? God, let the oppressed go free. In the name of Jesus, bind the devil off of them. Break every yoke. Lastly, we see that giving is a key to setting the captives free. Malachi 3:10-11 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Hey, listen, every single time you pray and you fast and you give and you pray and you fast and you give, and I'm not just talking about giving your money, I'm talking about giving your time, giving your talents, giving your treasures to the Lord. Every single time you pray for somebody, the devil's still going to fight you. He's still going to battle. You say, when is the battle ever going to stop, preacher? When you die or when Jesus comes back. You win one battle, and Satan's already theorizing on what he's going to come after you with next. And you better be ready, because you'll be right out of one battle into another. But you know, through the power that we have in Jesus Christ, we can win every single one of those battles. It's a choice. A fellow told me today, not going to call his name, some of you may know him. He said, Brother Drew, I've had a very good week, and the devil's just trying to fight me today. My car stopped working. He said, I mean, I had a good week, Brother Drew. I've been practicing my language better. I've been practicing praying more. I've been trying to do more for the Lord. And the devil today just came in and made my car quit. I said, hey, how'd you get here tonight? Well, my brother-in-law let me borrow his truck. I said, praise the Lord for your brother-in-law who had an extra vehicle. That car will get fixed. I said, devil. He's trying to bring you down because you're trying to do good for the cause of Christ. He can't stand it when you're serving God. You be thankful when the devil's fighting you because you're doing something right. Look, if you're fighting on his team, he's not going to battle you. How foolish would he be to play tug of war against you if you're already on his team? He's going to fight you. He's going to try to make you quit. He's going to give you every reason. Well, see, all these good things you've done for God this week, brother, sister, so-and-so, if God really cared about you and what you've done, that car would be working just fine. How many know the car is a carnal thing? And cars have mechanical problems. That's why God made mechanics, devil. Y'all all right? Go to the mechanic, get the car fixed. It'll be okay. It's frustrating. I know, I've been there. And the Lord's blessed me in that. And I realize that. But listen, anytime you're trying to do something good, the devil's always going to fight you. Always going to fight you. Always going to fight you. Now notice that these three spiritual activities, open or loose things, these are keys. None of the keys will be effective if we do not understand that with these keys comes authority. Every believer has the open and shut power of the Christian life waiting for them. Every man or woman who has the Spirit of God has God's keys in his hand. He has the authority to bind lies and all iniquity and set loose all those that suffer oppression by reason of spiritual foes. So according to Matthew 12, we are able to bind the strong man. And in Luke 11, we see the ability in Christ to use this binding to do a deeper work of warfare. Luke 11, 21 and 22 says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. Luke speaks of stripping away the armor of the strong man. The question then becomes, what does the armor of the strong man consist of? How is it stripped away? Notice that although the strong man trusts in that armor, it is nevertheless taken away. Luke vastly enlarges the whole concept of binding and loosing. Through seeking God's wisdom and discernment, Satan's undiscovered armor can be stripped off and taken away in the situation with which you are dealing. You say, how powerful and how strong is Satan? Well, it all depends on how long you're willing to let him be in control of your life. The longer that he can convince you every single day that he can convince you God doesn't love you, God doesn't care about you, your past is too bad, what you've done, you know you're saved, and you know a saved person don't act like that, and God, you don't deserve to go back to God. God doesn't want you to go back. The longer you believe the lies of the devil, the more you will be convinced he is powerful and powerful and powerful and powerful and powerful. To the end of, eventually, you know, you could die like that, believing that Satan has a whole lot more power than he really does. The Bible is contrary. Listen, greater is he that is within me. Who's that? The Holy Ghost. Than he that is in the what? The world. Folks, listen. Satan He has only what power you grant him. Stop believing the lies of the devil. Luke forcibly introduces the concept of aggressive spiritual warfare. And by the way, can I say this? It's time that we as Christians understand that this thing is coming to an end. Folks, Jesus is coming real soon. I don't know when. You don't know when. The theorists don't know when. I mean, I'm so tired of hearing people say, I think Jesus is coming back this fall according to... No. No man knoweth the day or the hour in which the Son of Man shall come. That's Matthew 25, 46, I believe. No man knoweth the day or the hour. No man. Not you, not me, not mom, not dad, not preacher, not son. Nobody knows. But I can tell you this. According to prophecy, we're getting pretty close. World War III hasn't happened yet. And it's going to happen. Y'all all right? I don't care what Trump and Biden said. It's coming. They're not going to keep us out of a World War III. Why? Because God said it has to happen. Y'all okay? It's coming. There's nothing they can do. Because God's in control of this whole thing. Y'all understand that? And when it comes, don't be surprised. It's prophecy. You remember what Brother Suter preached? Why we have to have World War III? Because God said we do. For the return of Christ, we've got to have it. It's coming. You should be thankful. You should be praying for that war. Because that means Jesus is sooner to come. How many is ready to just be home? Hey, look, I'm tired of waking up every day and listening to negativity. I can't wait to get to heaven. Now look, I'm not in a hurry. I want to see my kids grow up. But look, at this point, I just assume Jesus come back and take me and my wife and kids out of here together. I'm ready for this thing to be over with. I'm ready to wake up and no more night, no more sorrows, no more struggling, no more bills. Y'all all right? I'm tired of it. No more inflation. Y'all hear me? I'm ready to just get there and be in heaven where we can worship and serve. And by the way, worship Jesus Christ for all eternity. But here's the reality. We're not there yet. You know what that means? The war's not over. There's still people dying and going to hell every single day. We have a job that we must do. As ready as we are, we're not God. If he were ready, it would be over with. He is saying here that we can aggressively go in through binding and loosing warfare prayer and fully disarm the enemy and overcome him in impossible situations. This is not some laid-back position of warfare prayer that we can take. The enemy is confident. He is trusting in his armor because he feels it is a strong armor, but our armor and weapons are stronger. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What does that mean? That means false ideas and lies that Satan has set up in the minds of people. How many has ever been lied to by the devil? I wonder how many of you have believed those lies before. Every single one of us have. We're mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. What imaginations? Those improper images that are lodged in our memories that haunt us. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What is that? That's all vain philosophies of this world. False teachings and knowledge that tries to exalt itself above the final authority of God's word. Folks, we are seated together in heavenly places with Christ. We're at the right hand of the Father. We are in Jesus Christ. And where's he at? At the right hand of the Father. Satan doesn't have power over us, folks. 2 Corinthians 10:4, all of these things are subject to destruction when a believer binds and looses. We can go right in through binding and loosing prayer and disarm the enemy. That 2 Corinthians 10:4 was that Bible reference. Last of all, we must understand what the Lord is saying in our text, Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. How many believe that? Now, I asked you this earlier. How many have practiced binding the devil in your prayer life? Just be honest. Raise your hands. Listen, if you have not and you're not convinced that it works yet, try it. When you pray for somebody, you should first pray, God, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off of this situation. Do you know you can speak directly to the enemy? Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus off of this situation. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus off of this home that we're about to go knock on, off of this conversation that we're about to have with this family. I bind you off of the conversation. Don't give him any rights. to let them think, oh, I got to do this and this and this. I just don't have time right now. Listen, that's called spiritual blindness. That's what Satan wants them to believe. I don't have time to listen to the preacher. You know, we visited a man the other day, and he said, I don't know what you guys are doing here, but hold right there. What are you doing? I said, look, I'm from New Hope Independent Baptist Church. I'm the pastor. He said, listen, that's enough. We're not interested. Hey, he might not be interested now, but when his never-dying soul wakes up in hell, he'll wish to God that he had a different input. And we need to pray that God will loose the bondage off of him, and God will take the blinders off of his eyes. We need to pray and understand that that man has a never-dying soul that is going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. And who's going to do something about it? I wonder if you'll say, I'll do something about it. I'd be willing to go. Brother Drew, you make this thing sound so real. Listen, it is real. People are dying every single day. It's rarely ever that we go through a week where somebody doesn't raise their hand and say, pray for such and such's family. Somebody passed away. Brother Ian, a 34-year-old man, gone into eternity. Didn't he have a wife and kids at home? Do you think those babies, when they saw their daddy off to work last Sunday night or Monday morning, thought that this would be the last time we'll see dad? Y'all hear me? 34 years old! Hey, I'm 33. This could be the last time God allows me to preach. I could drop dead tonight. But guess what? I'm going to be all right. Don't worry about me. What you need to worry about is those people that are lost. But folks, death is real. And there ain't no age limit on it. I've seen them dead from 0 to 100. I haven't had the opportunity to preach a lot of their funerals yet, but I'm telling you, I've been to babies' funerals. I watched our family member bury a baby, and I think they've buried, what, 3 babies since then? Harvey and Ashlyn? 2 more since then. I think they've buried 3 babies in the last 10 or 12 years. Their very first one, she came out. I think she was only 19 or 20 weeks. And I watched that daddy home make a casket for his daughter and lay her in there. Folks, listen. Death is real. Y'all all right? And I've seen teenagers in terrible accidents pass away. I've shown up on scenes for wrecks before and seen moms and dads mangled in pieces. I've seen them burnt to a crisp. Folks, this is a real deal. And let me tell you something. As bad as they were burned up in that vehicle, that doesn't compare to what hell's going to be. And that was a terrible sight that I'll never be able to get rid of. You understand what I'm saying? You haven't smelled nothing until you smell burning flesh. And you can't get to them because it's too hot. Sometimes you can hear them. You can smell it. Imagine what hell smells like. Burning flesh. I wonder how many of you have time to come and go visiting. You say, Bro Drew, when you break it down like that, I better start making time. Hey, you should make time. It should burden you how large hell has become because we're not willing to go. I'm included in that. I haven't met God's expectation. And I'll never meet that until I get to heaven. But when I get there, I sure don't want to be ashamed. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The word of God is so powerful. The truth is that whatever God shows us, that is to be bound in heaven and on this earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed in heaven and on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Go with me to the book of Daniel tonight. I want to show you this spiritual warfare battle that Daniel was in. And I want to show you how God showed up for him. Daniel chapter 10. We're almost done tonight, I promise. You've been great. Daniel chapter 10, we'll start in verse number 13, or chapter 10, verse 3, I'm sorry. Daniel 10, verse number 3. The Bible says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. He's in a warfare battle here, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. Here he is. He's very weak at this moment. He's asking God for some help, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no what, church? Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. That's a pretty humble position, isn't it? You know, that's a position that we ought to find ourselves in often. Look at what he said. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. This is an angel that God has sent to Daniel in his time of weakness, in his time of despair. He's begging God for some help. He said, my strength is gone. I don't know what to do. Hey, wonder how many of you have been there before. Well, look what happened to Daniel. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were what, church? This is 21 days later. He said, from the first day that you spoke out, your words have been heard. Hey, listen, God's not always going to come on day one. He may not always come on day number two. But do you remember Mary and Martha when he came on day number 4 and Lazarus was dead? And they said, Lord, if you'd been here, he'd still be alive. He said, do you know who I am? I just wanted to show you how big I really am. Listen, read the rest of this in verse 12. I liked that. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Boy, aren't you glad that we serve a God like that? 21 days later, Michael showed up and he said, son, you don't need to fear. From the first day that you prayed, God heard you. God knew your situation. You know what Daniel understands? He understood James chapter 5 and verse 16, that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. What did it do? Availeth much. Hey, how many days does it take you to give up on your prayer? Y'all listening to me? 21 days later for this man, God sent an angel to intervene in warfare power. How long does it take you to give up? God, you see my need. I know you can do something about it if you really wanted to. What kind of faith is that? Hello? And then the next day you wake up and you're like, well, I still have that need. Guess God didn't really care. And we're going about our business. Then the devil starts making you believe the lie. See, told you God didn't care. Hey, what if we had some Daniels that learned to pray like that? You know, I bet you we'd have some stories that we wouldn't even have to open up the Bible to read about. I bet you we'd have some personal stories where, Brother Drew, let me tell you what God did for me on day 20 or day 21 or year 2. Hey, who cares? It doesn't matter. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. While Daniel prayed What Daniel prayed for was loosed, and the territorial spirit, the prince over Persia, interrupted the delivery angel. While Daniel prayed for 21 days, fasting and seeking the Lord, it was loosed again, and the message was delivered. We can know the mind of the Lord if we seek Him. We can know what He wants us to pray. Real prayer is when we pray to God what God has put in our hearts to pray for, so that He can do what He has intended to do in the first place. We read James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 tonight. Matthew 19. In verse 26, you say, Brother Drew, some of the things that I feel like the Holy Spirit asked me to pray for, they just don't seem like it's a reality. Well, let me tell you something. You're almost to where God wants you to be. Because in and of yourself, it's not a reality. But when God puts it on your heart, hey, it is a reality with Him and through Him. Don't be afraid to pray for what God has asked you to pray for. Don't ever think that God cannot save that young man or God cannot save that young lady. Folks, listen. God can, He wants to, and He will. Through much warfare prayer, He will. I believe it. I pray every single day that God will save my daddy. And I've been doing that for 15 years, Miss Janet. It's way past day 21, Brother Travis. But hey, if I didn't believe that God could save him, I'd just quit asking for it. But you know what I believe? That it's not God's will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Matthew 19, 26 says this, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is what? Impossible. But look what he said. But with God, all things. Not some things, Brother Kevin. All things are possible. So the next time God says, You know that wayward you've been praying for? And you don't think it's possible? Well, that's because with you it's not. But with me, all things are possible. All things. Now look, understand this. God still has a will, and no matter what, His will is going to be done. Amen? So I'm not saying, well, God, if, you know, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and you let my daddy die and you let my... Listen, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to what? So don't ever confuse facts with lies, okay? Listen, it is appointed unto man once to die. I'm not saying you prayed and prayed and prayed and God let your mama die, God let your brother... Listen, I get it. It happens to all of us. Not a single one of us in here have not experienced death within a family member that we love or a close friend. We've all experienced it, amen? And it's not fun. It's never intended to be fun, but that's another reason why we better get busy telling people about Jesus. Because I can tell you what, I've been to some funerals where I feel bad for the preacher preaching them. Because I'll be honest, if I have to preach a lost man's funeral, I don't want to be the preacher that stands up here and lies to everybody and says, judging by his lifestyle, he's in heaven. Hey, look, I know that only God knows the heart, but the truth is, we better get away from the reality that everybody that's laying in that casket looking beautiful is in heaven. Because they're not. Y'all all right? They're not. I like to know before someone passes away, hey, look, do you know Jesus or do you not? Because I don't want to stand up there and lie to everybody. I don't want to tell them you were a good person. God don't care about that. What God cares about is, do you know His Son? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that. But with God, all things are possible. I want to encourage you to take time in prayer as you read this chapter. We've went over this. I'm sure that you had things go through your mind that you know the enemy, the strong man, has held under his control and influenced you for way too long. You may want to see that person, that situation, that circumstance, the supply or healing come to pass. I'm going to ask Miss Crystal to come to the piano tonight. Listen, as we come to the end, this will be the last week on the binding and loosening and spiritual warfare prayer. She's going to play a hymn of invitation tonight. And I want you, as the piano's playing, I want you to If God has spoken to your heart tonight, listen, this altar is open tonight. What a better way to start practicing your spiritual warfare prayer than right here at a good old-fashioned altar at your church. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. The piano's going to begin to play. Listen, I wonder tonight, some are coming already, I wonder tonight if God has put something or someone on your mind that you need to be binding the devil off of, maybe a family member, maybe a situation, maybe a coworker, maybe a loved one, maybe a friend, maybe something and someone that you could bind the devil off of the situation. I wonder if God has put someone on your heart tonight. Listen, if he has, I wonder if you would come to this altar tonight and get on your hands and knees like Daniel did, and that palms down and those knees down position, and humble yourself and say, God, in the name of Jesus, would you please bind the devil off of this situation?